We are Brightside, home of the
Home theater fans, welcome to Brightside Home Theater Fog.
Cut, take two.
Cut,
yeah,
take two. The Home Theater Podcast, it's all about the experiences, not talking. I got caught in the mouth or something. Wow. All right, so that's we're on time.
The sounds.
Right.
Seeds.
All right, yeah.
I have my role, man. Don't take it away from me.
Hang on a second. Here we go. Hey, Home Theater fans, welcome to Brightside Home Theater Podcast. The Home Theater Podcast, it's all about the experiences, the sights.
The sounds.
The scenes, apparently.
Yeah, we're going to go with an video-only podcast because I can't talk today. So. Oh, boy. Oh, great to be sitting here. Finally, relaxing, sitting down. Talking home theater. How are you guys doing? We didn't really get much. John just joined. We got a few things going on in the background here, but having some fun. How you doing?
Good.
Good?
Yeah. Really good. Sweltering under the heat. You guys would be like, look, it's a very pleasant day. To us over here, it's roasting hot. We're basically melting, hence the fan you can see.
Yeah.
It is a balmy 75 degrees, your temperature, you know.
We'll break 100 this week.
Yeah, you see. Oh, really? You guys have got air conditioning. We just don't have it here. Right. So we just swelter because it's not.
You know it exists, right? It's been invented?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it does. But it's very rare to have a residential right. premises in the UK with central heating, with air conditioning, because we only get normally a couple of days a year that you might need it.
Yeah.
But we're on about 3 weeks so far. So it's really, really warm. So hence the iced drinks ready to go. You know. should get the branding right, shouldn't I?
There you go.
Awesome.
Drinks, look at you.
very warm. How about you, Deej? How are you doing?
Good. Very busy. Things are picking up steam on the house. Yep. I'm starting to see the tunnel again.
The entrance to the tunnel.
Just seeing the entrance to the tunnel. We haven't gotten into it
in the tunnel yet.
No light yet. No light. Not in the tunnel to see some light. But so things are really picking up. It's all good. It's all fun, and I'm learning a lot. John, let's talk about this here. Can you see the comments? Have you been able to try that or anything?
Well, I'm in full screen, so hold on.
Right.
Comments.
And be able to post them?
I can see them. How would I?
You just tap on it and pick one that you like. You see any, Steve? You can, too.
I can. Scruffy is showing me some
Is that me?
Love.
Did I do that?
Nice.
No, I did that. If you just hover your cursor over one of the comments, John, it'll say show.
It's not,
click on that.
I guess because I joined the regular link.
You joined the regular link. Okay.
Because I'm not logged in or anything.
Yeah, we'll do that later. Steve can work you through that afterwards. Yeah. There we go.
Yeah. So someone tell me where the tunnel is. That's Paul Hurt, our... Okay.
Someone tell me where the tunnel is. Yeah. I know. I was like, well, I was headed to the tunnel, right, guys? And then the tunnel caved in.
Right.
So, yeah. And, So, tunnel caved in, had to find a new tunnel. So, more on that later. The comments going, Steve. I'm going to keep the branding going. We've got fun new stuff coming. We are on Twitter now.
We're
streaming in two places on Twitter, at Legal Beagle OK, and we are streaming at Brightside HT on Twitter. So, John, we just lost John. There you go.
Well,
John's like, huh? There he goes. He's just going to go to Twitter. Look at that. Look at that. Fantastic. All right. So we've got some stuff to get to quickly. check this
out. I'm just going to watch the show, so don't mind.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, wow.
Joe, he paid his, he's a deal's a deal, he said.
Wow.
Hi, DJ, 867 just donated to JDRF. Thank you for bringing attention to this important cause. Let your listeners know how much I appreciate them. So he donated the 867. I in turn donated our share, which was the, I think it was like 355. Cause you minus out the 522 that we had received directly to them. So he, you know, between the two of us, we donated, what's that? I mean, quick math. We're looking at 1700 and change. Yeah. Seven came from Brightside Home Theater to Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation. So thank you, Joe. Thank you to everybody that contributed last month. But wow, what a huge month for, I mean, that's, we're doing some good here, guys.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
The hell happened?
I know.
So, the night is young.
The night, yeah, all right.
We have to go out and kick a baby after this.
Oh, jeez.
I have to be in balance, man.
Oh, that's just, a way to bring
I
balance.
Can't do all this. I can't do all this good, man.
Yeah.
just kidding, Mr. Musk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't kick us off Twitter.
Yeah.
Oh, shoot. He'd probably boot me to the top. What are you talking about?
Oh, jeez. Oh, okay. Also, from Joe, we got a donation for this month. He sent us over a $25 box of popcorn, bought us a box of popcorn, says, hi, DJ. I wanted to let you know I made a donation and would like to let everyone know how much I appreciate the show and the equipment purchased through AV Science based on recommendations. Whether it has been a new projector, replacement bulbs, or speaker upgrades, avscience.com has always made it easy. Regards, Joe Klusnick. And I'm like, perfect. Thank you very much. Thank you for the support. And yeah, that's for AV Science. yeah, so we will have more on we have a new segment in the middle of the show. So look out for that. That'll be fun. But are we ready to get to this week's real HT experiences?
Sure.
All righty. Yeah. Hey, see the new screen? New stuff coming up next, 4K releases. Look around the screen, you see what's going on. It's good for the viewers, and it's good for us too, so I know what's coming next.
This week, I'm more excited for John's than I am my own.
Are you really?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
yeah,
you've seen yours, but you've seen most of
mine. They were both his recommendations. That's what I want to see. I actually pay attention to what Steve recommends and I go and watch them.
Yeah. I've seen most of them.
Yeah,
now, Popstar, I haven't seen, but what was the other one you had?
Lonely Place to Die.
Oh, yeah. I didn't. It's so funny. I'm like, I swear I've heard of that before, but I can't remember where.
He's talking about it. Like
I know. It's like I'm the only one in the room.
You are.
Oh, all right. Here we go. We ready for our first one up here? We're going to start off with Steve. Get our update on your House of the Dragon.
Yes. House of the Dragon. So I am, let me see, 6, 7, and 8 now I've done. Ooh. So I've got two more to go. So I have now got beyond the Rubicon that is episode 7. And yeah, no problems with that whatsoever.
Yeah.
It's absolutely fine. I now know, because I remember you guys talking about that beach scene. Mm. And of course, I had no idea what you were talking about before, although I knew there was a problem. So now I know what it is. Yeah, there's no problem at all with the disc and a properly calibrated display. It's fine. It is dark, but it's not a problem.
It's supposed to be dark. It's night.
But if you can see the purple of the dress, then your screen is calibrated the right way, I guess.
Yeah.
It was all good, but very fun. What I like most about that episode, though, is the sound of the sleeping dragon. The dragon, because it moves around the screen as the kid, can't think of his name, is walking towards it. You can the camera moves around it, and as it moves, the noise of the snoring sleeping dragon moves with him. And I thought that was very cool. I really liked that nice little subtle kind of effect. But yeah, really enjoying it. Really fun. Still looks great. Sounds great. And I'm looking forward to the last two. I'm trying to ration them though, because I dread to think how long it's going to be before we can next.
Yeah, 2025 now.
Yeah. I mean, I think I might do what you did, John. I think I might go back and just start rewatching Game of Thrones. I've got the 4K set, so I think I might end up doing that. Mm. You know,
it's
now
beautiful.
Seeing kind of where
I
it
mean,
goes.
It's really, really nice.
The only problem is, I know I'm 99% certain that my set's going to have the faulty discs like yours did, and I can't swap them because I've had it for over 2 years. And so I'll just have to watch the Blu-ray for those episodes, of, you know, and then go back to the 4K.
I mean, none of them were prolonged. Like, it was a minute and a half on a scene. It's not like whole disc was ruined. It just would get pixelated. It would freeze. You could kind of fast forward to the next scene and keep going. So you don't have to switch discs necessarily. I wasn't. You know, like I wasn't going to accept that if I didn't have to, but it didn't necessarily like stop you from watching the entire disc.
Did it happen in more than one place on one?
It happened on three separate discs, a couple of times. I ended up swapping out three discs across different seasons. So it was just a weird, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what caused it. And if it was the same on everybody's that, because on my replacement discs, they all worked fine because I rewatched all of it. So it wasn't like it was in the entire production run. So I don't know. I don't know what happened.
I think the whole initial run was bad. So I'm certain I'm going to have a problem. But if it's only here and there and it's only a couple of times on the disc, that'll be great. I see Paul. Sorry, John, if I click on that, I've just removed it all.
I gotcha. I gotcha. Don't you worry.
I'm all right.
Yep. So Paul says, I really am going to have to buy House of the Dragon, I assume he means, was broadcast on Sky, which I don't have. I don't have it either, Paul. That's why I hadn't seen it until I got the discs. It is very cool. If you like Game of Thrones, you've got to see it. And you don't have to wait 6 months like I did. If you buy it, you can watch it straight away.
All right.
There's no waiting list.
No, quite. Yeah. But it is really good. Everything you guys said about it is true and more. Great.
Yeah. Great detail. Mm. All right. Let's see. Up next, John.
DJ.
Let's talk about Popstar again.
Again. All right. So I watched this on Steve's recommendation. I just streamed it, although I do now have the Blu-ray saved in my cart on Amazon, if that tells you anything. So it was on Hulu. It was streaming. It was only 1080p. It was only 5.1. Of course, everything is upmixed through my video and audio sources. And it looked pretty good, sounded pretty good. I'm sure, again, not near the quality that Steve was describing. Although I did notice the one scene you talked about, Steve, where it kind of all went dark and you just could hear it, and then you could see the words on the screen. I did notice the surround effects in that scene as well. But this movie was great. it was so funny. I laughed the whole thing. I really enjoyed it. I didn't really know who... I'm not a Saturday Night Live guy. I never watched Brooklyn Nine-Nine, so I wasn't really familiar with any of these guys. But he was really good. Andy Samberg was great. Little shot at, I guess, Justin Bieber, along with any number of boy band front runners from the 90s and 2000s. But this movie is super fun. If you haven't seen it, it's well worth the watch. I would say at this point, just skip the stream and go right to the Blu-ray because it is worth it. DJ, you need to watch it. It was really good. I texted my son halfway through it, and I was like, "You need to watch this movie, dude."
and when I saw that you'd seen it, I texted John straight away. This was the weekend. I'm like, "I can't wait. I need to know. What did you think of it?"
It's the songs. It is the music, the lyrics. It is so crazy. Definitely not family friendly. Especially the soundtrack.
That's your wheelhouse.
Yeah, you won't want to play it in on the family road trip or anything, but it was really, really good.
So. It is such a fun film. I mean, people love it. No one that I know or I'm aware of, has seen it and then gone, it just wasn't for me. Everybody, and again, the editor of Empire magazine, it's one of his
I'll have to check films. It out.
Yeah, I think DJ, I think that's the thing. John and I were texting, and I said to John, "Will DJ like it? Do you think?" He's like, "Yeah, you know, I think you will."
I think so.
Yeah. It's very funny. I don't know. Did you watch it with Lydia, John?
Or because you know Wednesday nights are mine. She works late, so I generally am home watching some movies. but she would enjoy it. Like I would go back and watch it again with her, and I think she would like it. Probably again, not as much as I did. You know, she'll give the side smirk and, you know, kind of look at me a few times, but I think she would still enjoy it. Because despite it all, it did have kind of a good little message and theme, you know, to it, which she would enjoy. So, yeah.
It is good. I mean, and again, that one scene is the one. I mean, lots of it's got really good audio to it. This is the other thing to see at Deej, not just because it's very funny and it's really good. The as you'll see, John, when you get your Blu-ray, that you know, the audio, there are big concert moments and the audio is right round the room, and you know, you've got all that stuff too. And then this one very funny scene with the queen bees, which again really moves the audio. It's great fun. So yeah, well worth seeing. And anyone that hasn't seen it, you know, again, absolutely make a beeline for it. If you go, damn, I'm punning again.
I see what you did there. Steve.
Stop doing this. Yeah, I'll have to tell myself to buzz off. so it's they're getting worse. I can only apologize.
We're expanding the podcast into different places to show it, and we're just getting worse and worse.
Just give a blanket apology, and then you're free for the rest of the show.
Yeah, so. That's it. Done.
Oh God! All right, alrighty. That it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
All right. The next one for me. This is the fun part of the show. Now, John, you're listening to Steve, and I'm listening to the listeners.
Right.
So Paul emailed me and said, enjoyed last convo with Danny Speakers. I got a big kick out of you bringing up Star Blazers. I was surprised he didn't know it I watched it in the AM before school and then after usually. Gamelons in the first series and Comet Empire in the second were the enemies you were trying to remember. And FYI, in case you didn't know, they have been remade some years back on Blu-ray called Star Blazers 2199 and 2202. I haven't purchased or seen yet on my list. From what I understand, the story has been changed slightly and is darker. They are on Amazon if you want to check them out. Paul B. New Bedford, that's Massachusetts. And he says, still thinking of doing a Takeover Tuesday. Don't know if I can fill in to fill 2 hours though. And I immediately replied to him like, thanks for the heads up on those. And, you and I'm like, Paul and I could do 2 hours just on Star Blazers. So as anybody that's been on the show knows, it's like going 2 hours isn't the problem. It's stopping at 2 hours is usually what the problem turns out to be. So what do you think I did? So
watch Maverick again.
Yeah.
No, sorry.
I actually did. I went through and watched Maverick back like beginning to end, but I didn't put it in the show for this week. I was just like, everybody would be like, seriously, what is he going
to
say?
I don't think you have anything else to say about it.
I actually did. It was like watching it over again. It's like even all those other scenes, I haven't watched it in its entirety since I got the like full SVS. So now getting the different scenes, the bar scene, some of the other, I can't remember what was the one that stuck out to me that I was just like, and it was just a talky scene, you know, but anyway, maybe I'll put it in the show for next week. All right. I got Maverick. So anyways, so Star Blazers Space Battleship Yamato 2199 is available on Amazon for, I believe it was $24.99 for the full season. So I grabbed the full season. I was watching it, and it is good. If you're a fan of the original series, which was out in the 70s, it's basically the characters are all drawn exactly the same. Like they look exactly the same as they did in the 70s in the original series. They all have different names though. Like, I feel like I'm just guessing that what they did is they didn't give them American names this time around. Whereas remember it was like Derek Wildstar, Nova, Avatar. Captain Avatar was the captain of the entire, or Admiral Avatar, maybe, or whatever.
They all had Americanized.
Yeah. And in this one, they don't. I'm four episodes in, and I haven't really learned their names, but you know who they all are. As soon as they show up, you're like. So I watched three episodes on Amazon. And what I found was I had to go to plus three above reference just to get a better, play it a little louder. And then I was like, well, you know what? Let me see. Is it available on iTunes? Well, yes, it is. So I bought it there. Because
here we go.
Well, I didn't just buy it, but I bought episode three to see if there was a difference. So I compared the two, and there is. It's a little bit more dynamic on iTunes. It's $2 more for the entire season. Each episode is the exact same price, ironically, at $2.99, on both of them, I think. But it played a lot nicer here. The interface going back to it on iTunes was a lot nicer. It's like Amazon is, and it's got to be a really good show for you to go there, because it doesn't always just show up. They give you that shuffle thing all the time. It's like, where's my continue watching? I'm like, they pushed it down a little further because they want me to see this latest thing. So I found that this one was better. And so I am four episodes in. I went back and watched the first two episodes of the original, and it is very, very close to the same story. It is darker for sure. This one here, there's more detail in the battles. The battles look a lot nicer. It's way more modern. The explosions are nicer. Back then it was just, if you haven't seen it in a while, it's just very rudimentary drawing. It's just like, boom. And then they just show this. That's it. This one here, it looks way more like modern day animation. The explosions, the sound, there was actually rumble in my room on both of them. But as I said, the iTunes is a little bit more dynamic. And it's a lot of fun. If you're into any of this Japanese animation from the 70s and 80s, this one here, I plan on going, it's part one, then they have part two, and then they do have the, Paul said, the other season, which is, what did he say it was, 2202. Yeah. So, I plan on going through all of them. They're 25 minutes each, and, I watched one upstairs. It just wasn't the same. It definitely is a decent home theater experience. Not reference level by any stretch of the imagination, but it was a lot of fun. And I'm doing it every morning, 25 minutes. And if I can get to another one that night, I'll do it as well. But yeah, a lot of fun. Really. You watched this stuff too, didn't you, John?
Oh, yeah. I loved Star Blazers, Battle of the Planets.
Yep.
Voltron.
Guy King,
yeah.
Grandizer.
Watched all of the Grandizer, yeah.
Yeah. Grandizer, go!
Yeah. All those growing up.
Oh, yeah. So, and this almost sent me down that rabbit hole, too, of like, let me see if I can get Grandizer and Guy King. And
yeah.
Like, all of the, and remember the commercial during those things in the toy store that was, I think it was like towards Boston or something. It was like, they'd run the commercial during these shows, and you could go there and buy all the, models of these things.
Yeah.
And the robots and everything. And yeah, it's so good. But yeah, it is definitely, darker, more adult like. Like for instance, in the opening of the first episode of this, there's the explosions and there's a battle that takes place that isn't even in the first one. They just tell you about like what's going to happen. It's more voiceover stuff. But in the battle they have, and I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but it is a very old series. But in this one, there's two people, there's a ship about to explode in the middle of space. And there's two I guess, astronauts or, you know, cosmonauts. They're on the outside of the ship, and this one is holding the other, and they're about to die. And they did the that one of them says to the other one, and he's like, I can't see. Mama, is that you? It's just so corny. Like, oh my God. And then I think it was Avatar, Captain Avatar or whatever. He has a line in the first one when the enemy that he's fighting says, you know, surrender or die. And then in the new version, he goes, tell them I said nuts. I backed it up. Did he say nuts? I back it up. Tell them I said nuts. And I was like, nuts as in N-U-T-S. I even put on the closed caption, and I'm like, yep, that's what he said. I'm like, that is so corny. Then I go back and I watch the original, and it's like the exact same thing, only he doesn't say nuts. He says something like, I don't know, but it was some other obscure word. It like that wouldn't fit there. So I don't know if it didn't translate from Japanese or whatever, yeah. But it was like,
most likely,
but it was some other corny line. So there was a little differences like that, but a lot of fun. And it's, I think, like I said, iTunes was like $28 or $27.99. The other one was $24.99. So
some of the people in chat are feeling their age.
Oh yeah.
Steve says, yeah. Steve, I'm saying, I'm way too old for this. Yeah. Astro Boy is a stretch for me.
You're never too old.
No way.
Although Paul also then says, I'm in the same boat as Steve. I missed any animation made after 1978.
Did you get any of these, Steve? Did you know of them? Did they have them over there?
You mentioned Battle of the Planets. That one I definitely saw when I were a lad.
That was called
Gotcha Man.
Yeah. So I have that set.
That I've seen, and I remember those, but I'd never heard of Star Blazers, never heard of any of that. Astro Boy, never heard of it. You could have put a gun to my head, I wouldn't have had a clue. Battle of the Planets, I remember that was good. I mean, in fact, Paul Hurt in the chat might be able to confirm it. I mean, we didn't get a lot of that sort of anime stuff really over here. And bear in mind, of course, when I would have been old enough for this, I would have been in New Zealand. I didn't come back from New Zealand until I was 9. And if it was hard getting it here, it'd be even more difficult in New Zealand.
Yeah.
But Battle of the Planets, yes. And then that was it, I think. Did you guys ever see one called Jace and the Wheeled Warriors? Did you guys ever get that?
No. I've never heard of it.
That was
no.
A similar kind of anime type animation, but I think it might have been an American cartoon. But there you go.
Yeah. So that was a lot of fun. So highly recommended if you're a fan of those. Check that out. What do we got next? We are up to, here we go. This is a fun one.
Yes. Yeah. So for those listening, this is Shazam Fury of the Gods. Now, you've seen the Kaleidoscape version, haven't you, Deej?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And John, have you, I know you saw it in the theater.
Just the theater. Yeah. I don't own it yet.
Okay. So this is the 4K disc in Dolby Atmos, which I picked up last week. And I have seen the first one, watched it 3 times. It's fun, you know, enjoy it. It's a decent 4K disc. But I'd heard a lot of not very good things about this, other than from you two. Because I think you both really enjoyed it, didn't you?
Yeah.
So I bought it because, you know, I thought I would. And so I put it on Thursday, Friday. Interestingly, the disc, it'll be interesting to see if the Kaleidoscape does the same, Deej. The disc is mastered at a quite low volume. You've got to bump the volume quite a bit more than I did, and some of the reviews have said it as well. I had to goose the volume a bit more than I normally would. Not to ridiculous levels, but nevertheless, it is definitely higher than I normally would. And when you do that, you then get a decent experience. So it's a 2-hour and 20-minute film. I found the first hour quite difficult. Because the sort of dorky humor was doing my head in a bit. And it just felt kind of safe and a bit silly. And I was struggling with it a bit. And then, Helen Mirren, who, you know, I haven't seen many of the Fast and the Furious movies, as you guys know. And I didn't realize she has reached the, how much are you going to pay me? Okay, I'll just turn up and just read whatever you put in front of me stage of her career, which appears to be where she is, because she's dreadful in this. It's just wooden as anything. And so the first hour was really hard going, and I was struggling with it. And then, well, no spoilers, their plan or the plan of someone begins to take shape. And the last hour, hour and 20, is all spectacle. And it's all, you know, dragons, and it's, you know, mythical creatures, and it's, and when you've got the volume up to where it needs to be, suddenly then it all kicks in, and then it becomes a really enjoyable, fun rest of the movie. So first hour, hard to watch. Last hour and 20 was actually good fun, and I really enjoyed that. So overall, it was good. Really good home theater experience. It looks fantastic. It was shot at 5.5, 6K. And it's, so it's a native 4K transfer. It looks fantastic. Every little bit of stitching on the costumes are all clear to see. And it sounds great when the volume has been adjusted as well. So I did enjoy it. And I think overall I would recommend it. And I suspect that, that most people will enjoy it, probably more than I did. But I did really enjoy it though. I thought it was really good. Yeah. Really, really good.
Yeah. I didn't notice anything on the Kaleidoscape version. Mm. As an issue, I really enjoyed the audio. As a matter of fact, I really liked the movie too. So I've seen it a couple of times, and I didn't feel like I had to bump anything. I've gone back and watched different scenes of this, in for the 4K, for the audio. I mean, there's a lot to take in. And I think John and I said that after we'd seen it in the theater, we couldn't wait to see it at home because we knew how much there would be. You know, the way this was shot and the action scenes and stuff. So
apparently I can wait.
Yeah. Well, that's true. No, but us just saying that it would be a great home theater experience. And I really do think it
just
is.
Kidding.
It is. So,
yeah, it's, as I said, I think the last hour and 20 is great. You know, again, with the, there were a couple of the reviews I read afterwards mentioned this sound bump as well. So it's not just my system. It's definitely something with the disc. For some reason, Warners don't normally master them low, but this one just happens to be. But yeah, as I said, don't get me wrong. The first hour, the setup was troublesome. But once it kicks in, it really does look and sound great. So, you know, I'd recommend it. I think most people, as I said, will like it more than me. But yeah, it's very, very good. Did you see what Blue Wave says?
Yes, I'm not going to post it. You posted it.
God, there you go. I got rid of it.
You got the swear in there. I can read
sorry,
it.
I missed that.
Yeah. So Blue Wave says, DJ didn't have to bump it because, you know, that was reference level all the way. And it's, but here's the thing. It's like, and well, I want to come.
But Steve's reference is his reference too.
Exactly.
Right.
Thank you, John. And that's just it. It's like, just because I go to reference, it doesn't make everything. I mean, rising tides raise all boats. So, like, if it was a low mix, I would have noticed because I would have been like, just watching Star Blazers, I was like, this isn't normal streaming. It felt a little lower. So, and that was, of course, watching Star Blazers at reference level. Have to. So, but yeah, reference is reference. So.
Reference, if Steve's reference is minus 10, that's still reference for him.
Right.
And then he has to bump it, or, you know, if he has to bump it from there, it still would be the same for you.
Right.
At zero.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So meaning that that's why it's important to always listen at this. If you care about stuff like this, if you care about trying to figure out which track is, you know, how they measure up, then listen to this at the same volume every time. And then you adjust accordingly. Like some tracks are really, really loud, so you might back it off a little bit. But if you have the same starting point, then you'll know and hear the differences in the tracks. So, and you'll also hear how many are very, very similar, and they mostly are. And it's very rare that you have to bump one way or the other. So,
yeah,
yep. All right. What's that, Steve?
So I was going to say, but it is, as I said, overall really good. And don't let me put you off at anyone that's thinking of it. You like the film, then you know, it's a great presentation. But, you know, so, yeah, it's all good.
I'm starting to recognize how Steve, like, how these movies or these experiences are ranking in a system by the picture he sends. And this is like the scene, like he takes the back. If he wasn't really a big fan of it, it was like from a league of their own. All right, a little further away. It's like, oh, what is that on the screen way over there?
Taking like, it from outside through the window.
Yes. Yeah, like he's in his, no, he's in his media closet in the back. Yeah. It's like, I was like, oh yeah, what did I watch this week? Let me just put it on. Ugh. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Up next for John, it's a lonely place to die.
Lonely Place to Die. And this was, I believe, Paramount Plus. I can't tell from my picture.
Yeah, I don't remember. You I would think know.
It was Paramount Plus. Yeah. But it was definitely streaming. It was 1080p, 5.1 audio. Again, everything upmixed. Now, I had an issue with this. I see it. It's AMC Plus, actually, is what it was.
Okay.
I had an issue with this stream, I think, because Steve, I don't remember you mentioning this when you went through it, but I had a lot of issues with the bass in this movie to the point where I thought about the way you described Halloween Ends. Like it was obtrusive and not enjoyable. And I really think it was the stream or the service more so than the movie. Because like my entire house was just rattling like everywhere through the whole movie to the point where, to the point where I had to really turn this down and I almost got up and shut my subwoofers off to watch the rest of the movie because I did enjoy the movie. And that's the thing. Like I didn't want to stop watching it. And I don't think this would be the case because I've watched a lot of bass heavy stuff. And, you know, you get a little rattle in the house. You guys all are aware of my setup by now. You know, I'm not in a dedicated room. So, I mean, I do get some rattle. But this was worse than Dune. It was worse. Yeah, I mean, you know, I've watched a lot of stuff with a lot of bass. And this was really irritating to me to watch for some reason. So I'm curious to see it again in another format. But I found it very, very distracting for some reason.
That's definitely the stream, John. Definitely the stream because the Blu-ray.
I think so.
The Blu-ray's got some nice audio to it, but it's not, you know, not referenced. You're not going to dig this out to demo it 21. Nothing about the audio particularly stands out.
It's more that, and it wasn't like explosions or crashes. Mm. It's just that tension building bass, you know, when they're just trying to build tension in the scenes. But like I said, my entire house, like my windows were rattling, my pictures were rattling on the walls. It was really, really bad. So I think it was just AMC Plus. I think it was the stream. Something about it was poor. All that being said, you know, again, it looked really good, you know, being 1080p and, you know, again, being kind of up converted to 4K. And the movie is tight. It's short. It's like 90 minutes. So there's no fluff to it. Like you're kind of right into it right at the start. And it takes you all the way through the end. And it was, like I said, a tight thriller. And I did enjoy it. I really liked the movie. But I was kind of bummed that my experience wasn't so good with it. So, but again, definitely a Blu-ray to pick up. I don't think it's out in 4K.
No, it's only the Blu-ray that I've got.
Just in Blu-ray.
It's a very low budget thriller, so you wouldn't.
Right.
I'd be very surprised if it turns up anywhere in 4K.
Yeah.
But I'm glad you enjoyed it. Well, for your next two recommendations, then, John.
Yeah, yeah. Let me know what to watch.
Got a pen?
Yeah.
I would genuinely say Wind River. That is one to see next.
And I've been looking for it. I can't find it for free. I'm either going to have to buy the disc or pay to rent it because it doesn't stream anywhere.
I would say genuinely, knowing you guys as I do, that's one to buy. John, you'll love it. And talk about bass. There is some bass in that towards the end where there is a gunfight that is almost a literal punch to the chest.
Right.
So that would be my next one for you. Give that a go. I really want you to see what you guys make of that.
And both of these I should have bought. Like I would have enjoyed both of them and I liked them enough to where, you know, if I think I'm only ever going to get one watch out of it, I won't buy it. I'll just stream it and be done with it, you know? but both of these movies I could see watching again. And so I probably will pick up the disc for both of these.
Yeah.
And look to Wind River as well.
So
yeah, that one in particular, you guys will both love that. Have you seen Hell or High Water? Either of you seen that?
No.
No,
that's a.
Oh wait, I did watch it. That was Chris Pine, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah,
I watched it after you talked about it. Again, I streamed that as well.
But did you enjoy that?
Yes, I did. I really did.
Well, Wind River's by the same people.
Okay,
and it's the same somber tone, but it's got a. I'd really, really see it so we could talk about it because it'll be amazing. But Deidre, I think that's one to see. I don't know whether it's on Kaleidoscape or not. But if you get chance to watch it, you know, really give it a go. And again, I see Mike Trump just saying in the chat there, the Hell or High Water is great. If you haven't seen Wind River, Mike, or any of you guys, if you haven't seen it, then genuinely make a beeline for it. It's got a little bit of melancholy to it now because of what happened to Jeremy Renner. Although, of course, he's now on the comeback, isn't he? So that's good news. But it's very, very good indeed, and it has it's a somber movie. It's quite difficult to watch at times. There it is, but boy oh boy is it good, and it's got some incredible stuff that happens in that film, both home theater and just generally as well. Oh, cha-ching!
Here we go.
That for people that are listening, that's the sounder I've just improvised for DJ buying it on Kaleidoscape.
There we go.
But I hadn't heard of it until very recently, and then I bought. It was a blind buy Blu-ray for me, and I loved it. Really, really pleased with that. So if we're doing recommendations, if it's Steve recommendation season, then pop that one in there.
Cool. John, are you frozen?
Yeah.
Oh, we
lost him.
We lost John.
Yeah.
That's all. Apparently, he's not a big fan of Wind River. Well, wonder what happened there. That was
too bad. We lost him. Yeah.
We'll keep on going. Oh man, this next one too. I wanted to do. I mean, he's a big fan of these too. We'll get him back in. Oh, there he is, and he's back. But he doesn't have an image though. Mm. All right. Let's see. Where did he go? There he is.
Sorry about that. Was that just me, or was that everybody?
No, that was just you. We were still here. I think, unless the people in the comments will let us know. I'm like, no, you all went away. No, you just dropped out. You froze and then dropped out.
Okay.
So, but all right, no harm, no foul. We're back. And I was trying to stall for time because look at what's next. I watched this a couple weeks ago too. Mm. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows. A lot of fun. I took notes, lost the notes. I just remember, I was like, where did I put those? I can't remember what I listed them under on my phone. But I really just I didn't take a lot of notes. I just wanted to sit down and have some fun with it. And, I hadn't seen this one in a while, but it's so good for home theater wise. Stephen Amell, I thought his acting was better on Arrow. it's a little rough at the beginning. You're like, because I love Stephen Amell too. I've always wanted to meet him. I just love his personality. I love hearing about him, like behind the scenes, and this, like, he just really feels like a guy that likes to do things that he's passionate about, and he just really gets into these things. Not that like he's the star of this or anything, but that, I mean, this was, you know, a big movie for him while he was doing Arrow. And so I really enjoyed it way back then, hadn't seen it in a while, and I was like, let me just sit down and absorb it. And it is an amazing home theater experience, super bright, lots of great HDR throughout this thing. Obviously I watch it on Kaleidoscape with the Dolby Atmos. I have it on disc, I have it on 3D, all that fun stuff. But this was just, it's insane. And it's like insanely stupid, but it's the Turtles, you know? It's a four turtles and a rat, and then you have Shredder and you have this, and you know, there's a freeway escape that's super well grounded. I mean, totally could happen in real life at about the 18 minute mark. The explosions are fantastic. The bass is fantastic. The fire is colorful, everything like that. And then, I mean, the entire, and it's not heads up display, but they do a lot of stuff where like Mikey's using like graphic, a lot of stuff like Tony Stark making models, 3D models and stuff. And it, the way it just looks on the screen throughout the movie, it happens all the time. It just looks so good. They go into a building and, what's her name's playing April. She was in the first Transformers. There you go. Megan Fox. And she goes into a building, and for some reason, this is early on, I thought it was the building from Running Scared. Remember that with, remember Running Scared and,
Yeah, the end with, Jimmy Schmidt is the bad guy.
Yeah, that's right. And, yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. And it, for some reason, she walked in, and I was like, I was picturing that was the building she was going into with the escalators and stuff, but I don't think it was, but I don't know why that triggered it. But yeah, this is, it just looks really good. It's a fun home theater experience. Again, from like the 108 mark till the end of the movie is just bonkers. Like your room just comes alive. And I think they would, at that point, they jump out of a plane or something. And they're like, then they land in the water. So you got the, and then they're, it's just awesome. Awesome. I had so much fun with it. So, it's not as, you know, niche as, you know, Wind River or anything like that.
It, but it's, no, you're right, DJ, it's great. And I've got the Blu-ray of this. Sorry, the 4K. Yeah. 4K,
do you have the 4K? 4K?
Yeah. I think it's 4K. Oh, God, check it. But yeah, it's, yeah, in fact, no, it is. It's definitely 4K. Yeah, it's great. That escape scene, the freeway scene that you're talking about, and then the plane crash in Brazil, and then also the building of the machine towards the end as well. All the little pieces come over the room, and you get that all over the top, and then it all kind of assembles.
Yeah.
And that's really, really good as well. That was a scene early on in the life of Cinema George that I used to use for demo sequences. For like young kids, you know, kids that would come and see it.
Yeah.
You know, that was always a fairly safe one that you could demonstrate.
Yeah.
You know, putting on John Wick turned out scared them. I learned fairly early on that wasn't a good idea. It's good. It is a really good disc, a really decent.
Yeah.
And actually, Mike Schramm's just saying, is it as good as the AV wise as the first? And I think so, if not a bit better, I think, because there's a bit more scope to this one than the first.
Yeah.
One. And I haven't seen the first one as many times as I have this one, but, it's really, really good.
It is, and it's great mindless entertainment where you can just watch it and listen to your room go crazy. Just so much fun. And
it is in 4K. I've just checked.
Yeah.
I didn't want to get it wrong. Yeah, it is. Is it out there in 4K? Did you see it in 4K, Deej?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, okay. on Kaleidoscape, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, it's very cool. Yeah, well worth seeing, guys, and well worth it. But like you say, not as niche as you know, Wind River.
Yeah, you know. It just missed the Oscar nom too. It was a shame. So, all right, that's enough on that. Let's get to a little bit something a little more grounded.
Ooh,
ooh, Steve, tell us about Unhinged.
Okay, so this is the 2020 instant classic, the Carl Ellsworth written classic.
Yes,
that is Unhinged. So this is the 4K disc with Dolby Atmos, which I had to import from Germany because there is no 4K disc version in the US or in the UK. But there's one in Italy. There's one in Germany. There's one in France, but not one in England. And there's not one in the US for reasons I don't know. And I know that not only because I researched it, but Carl himself and I were DMing earlier in the week, and he had to import it himself as well. So he's got, of his own movie, he's got the German 4K version as well.
Wow.
So he's seen it too. So anyone that hasn't seen it, well worth seeing. Now, Deej, you've seen it now?
Yeah.
You haven't
A while ago.
Have you seen it?
No, have not.
So do you know what it's about?
No.
Okay, I'm not going to spoil it, but I will give you some idea. So this is a, how just to describe it? This is one of those falling down type movies.
That's what I was gonna say.
It's where two people, their paths cross, or Changing Lanes is the other one that I got from this. Mm-hmm. But this is which is the old Ben Affleck, Samuel L. Jackson movie, where there's a road rage incident, something fairly innocuous, that on any given day two people shout at each other, they gesticulate in a rude and abusive way, and then go about their day, and that's the end of it.
Right.
But in this particular movie, what happens is, and it's in the trailer, so this is just the setup. The young lady and her young son concerned beep at someone in front of them beat their horn at someone in front of them who did not move more quickly through the traffic lights. And it turns out that it is Russell Crowe, not the actor, obviously playing the playing a role. And although, to be fair, Russell's reputation is perhaps precedes him. But anyway, we won't talk about the phone incident the in the hotel room. But anyway, he happens to be someone who's having a bad day himself and going through troubled times and decides to show this poor young lady and her young son what a bad day really looks like. And from there, it becomes it's a very taut 96-minute thriller. Again, like a bit like No Time to A Lonely Place to Die, but this one with the gore and the guts and the real violence. It's a very, very violent movie. I love it as well. I think it's great.
How come whenever we get to gore and guts,
yeah, it's like, that's what I say. And I love it.
You,
yeah.
I think you even say like, I love it, even like differently than every other time. Okay. It's like, and like Turtles, I love that movie. That, yeah. I love that. It's a great home theater. It's like this, the gore and the guts. I love it.
Oh, yeah. It's like, is that how I sound? Yeah. No, well, quite. Well, I did. Yes, that is the way to my heart with these sorts of movies is guts and gore.
I know.
So, probably quite literally, actually, as it turns out. But anyway, well. I really do like this. I mean, it is. It's very nihilistic. It's very mean and you know, and nasty. And I can't wait, John, to talk to Carl Ellsworth about this. I'm going to talk his ears off about this, and what? I suspect he will listen to this because there's so much I want to ask him about this.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great home theater movie too.
Yes.
It really is. So it's like that's why I'm like looking forward to talking to him about that part. But yeah, it is one of those, like when the ball starts rolling, it's like, when do your senses take over and say, what am I doing here? You know, and you go, I have, where I used to work, this was long before you had monitors and stuff, but we had the company's phone number was on our trucks. And we had one of our techs who was also a supervisor. So he was in charge of people. And somebody called the office and said, your guy won't stop following me. And he just kept chasing him everywhere. I'll tell you later who it was, John. You might know him. we grew up with him.
Okay.
But yeah, he literally, we had to call him on his work phone and be like, stop following that Honda. And he's like, but he just got off the highway and just kept following them. He's like, I'm going to see where they live. And they're like, they're not going home. They're just waiting for you to drop off. They're not going to stop. And because they knew he was like right on their butt. And I'm like, you're a nut job. It's like, what a nut. That's kind of like, the guy I worked with.
Did either of y'all see Beef on Netflix?
No.
Very similar. It's similar. You know, it starts with a road rage incident. It stars Stephen Young and Ali Wong. But yeah, they get into a little road rage incident in the first 5 minutes, and then it's just 10 episodes of one-upmanship of vengeance, and it's very dark, and I don't know. I liked it, but it was pretty pretty bad.
This is one of those movies where you're just shouting at the screen, or you feel like shouting at the screen, just stop.
Yeah.
Everyone just take a breath and let it go.
Yep.
But I mean, you talk about that, DJ. I mean, obviously in the work I do, I've encountered many incidents, not that turn homicidal like this does, although I've encountered many of those, but not in this context, where two people don't get on. And again, your neighbor disputes that kind of, and it just goes up and up and up and up and up. And you always feel like just getting their two heads to just banging their heads together and saying, stop being bloody idiots.
Yeah.
So, but this is to the nth degree. I mean, Russell Crowe has gone completely off the deep end and decides that, you know, this is going to be very bad. So in terms of the home theater side of it, yeah, I mean, this is in Dolby Atmos. The Blu-ray, I think, is in Atmos, but obviously is not in 4K, whereas this is the 4K version. And it's quite a washed out palette. I think it's been deliberately drained of color so that it's not super high saturation.
Right.
It's definitely been.
They desaturated everything. Yeah. I think it's to separate you from reality a little bit too.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, quite. I think so. But also, I wonder if there's a little bit, and again, the sort of thing I'm going to ask Carl, I wonder if that's done because it's trying to be a little bit of a 70s sort of throwback thriller. It's kind of, it's evoking an era long gone, you know? So I don't know about that. But and then the audio is good. There's nothing, I don't think you dig this out as a demo disc. I don't think there's anything in here you'd go, right, just check this out. But what is there is functional, does what you want it to do. There are some bangs and some crashes. There are some car crashes and some bits, but nothing that you know is demo worthy necessarily, but fits the film very well.
Exactly.
And again, those in the chat, I know Mike saying that Mike Schramm saying it's new to him as well. Then it is worth seeing, and you'd be able to stream it. I'm sure it's on, you know, a streaming service. But I would say if you can get hold of the disc, then do that. But you know, it's just see how you go. Just try it. I think you'll really enjoy it. If you like those kind of thrillers. I mean, Falling Down is not as graphic as this. It's nowhere near as violent as this.
No.
And Falling Down's much more grounded. And I know that's kind of silly even as I say it, but it's heightened, but it's not heightened anything like this. This is this is your ultimate nightmare. Yeah. You know, and I dare say you won't beep your horn at someone in traffic for a few days afterwards, just in case.
Oh yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, I take that stuff literal because, I mean, when you're out and it's like blind or something, just go. Just like, and when I was younger, I was stupid, but now it's not worth it. It really isn't.
Yeah, quite.
All right. Let's get to now. You want to talk Grounded? We got this one coming up here. I mean, this is hyper realistic, everything. Man, can't wait.
Oh yeah,
65. I'm still not crazy about the title. Like it's a retirement movie. What is 65? You couldn't have put anything else. It's just like 65. I'm like, it just doesn't really ring, you know. No. I watched it on Kaleidoscape 4K Dolby Atmos and Steve disc 4K with Dolby Atmos, correct?
Yes, that's right.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Close-up version, so obviously it was good.
Yeah.
Well, I never thought of that, Deej. Now you're making me wonder.
Well, I was starting to realize. I'm like, oh, he didn't like this one as much. It's further away.
The title, it felt like it needed a couple of more revisions, didn't it?
Yeah.
Like a spec script. Someone just 65 will do. We'll come up with a proper 65 name. 65 what?
It's like, it's like.
I mean, it should have just been called Spacemen versus Dinosaurs. And we'd have all been there for that.
I love the premise. I love I love the idea of the story. There's even a little few nods in there to our history that how it, like maybe, you know, whatever. It was fun. I had a lot of fun with it. I liked the family aspect of it. I enjoyed that. I probably enjoyed the first 52 minutes more than you did, right? Because I saw your tweets about it. Like you didn't really enjoy the first 52, but after that, the home theater experience is. I thought it was really good up until then too. But yes, that's where it really takes off. And I retweeted the screen grab of like what happens. And I wrote in my notes, I'm not going to tell you what it is, but it's a fantastic scene. Trust me, you'll like it. And it is. It's at the 52 minute mark. I was like, holy cow. So go ahead, Steve.
Yeah. Well, in terms of the film, as I put in my tweet, the first 50 odd minutes was just so generic for me. I it had become a game for me. Thinking, right, where have I seen that before? So we have the asteroid sort of causing the ship to crash, right? That's Pitch Black. We've got the guns, they look a bit like Starship Troopers. We've got the dinosaurs, okay, well, obviously Jurassic Park and any one of a number of other movies you care to name. You know, and all this stuff. And so it became a game as to where have I seen that before? The beach scene at the beginning is a bit like Contact with Jodie Foster and her dad towards the end, you know. And so I'm just like, I've seen this before. And I don't, luckily the home theater aspect of it up until the 52 minute mark was enough to keep me interested. I was mm-hmm. I was at least watching it because there's some nice three-dimensional stuff at the beginning as they're going through the voids. Yeah, it looked really nice. And then the music kind of, again, I know I say this a lot, but sort of floats around the room and sounded really nice and crept into the overheads. There was some, you know, there was some quite nice stuff here.
Let me read you my opening notes. Opening. Yeah. Has a great 3D feel to the picture. Audio is really nice with score filling the room and surrounding you. So it's like, I mean, it really did. It's like, it was, I mean, and stuff like that, especially for home theater nerds like ourselves, that can grab you. And and that kind of helps you, maybe if you brought your brain into the room, it helps you put it on the outside as you're going along, right? And you're like, that helps you enjoy the movie even more. And I thought they did a great job with the opening on that.
Mm, they did. And it did look really nice. And again, it's Sony. So we've come to expect good things from Sony and they did deliver. So I was able to keep interested with the, where have I seen this before game? And then the, you know, the home theater experience was at least keeping me invested. Otherwise, there are some movies that by the 52 minute mark, if it hasn't grabbed me, I'm switching it off or, you know, I'd go and do something else and never ever come back to it. So when you get to this moment, and I mean, I'm not going to spoil it either because I just, you know, even saying 52 is spoiling it a little bit. But when this incident happens, this thing occurs, and I think it's from there right to the end of the movie. It's like, it's almost like the director thought, you know what? We're not getting very far with this. Let's just throw everything at this. From the 52 minute mark on. Because then you get all this stuff and you get all the atmospherics and you get, I mean, it just goes bonkers. Or it's like the director goes, well, we've had it at 7 through this, you know, off 1 to 10, we've had it at the experience has been a 7. Let's just have 11 out of 10 for the rest of it. Go on. And you can almost sense the director just going whoosh like that because the movie just goes bonkers from 52 to 1 hour 36. It's just demo material. From 52 minutes to the end, I mean that's how I felt.
Yeah,
it was just fantastic. From there, and so you can almost start. You know, those of you that haven't seen it, you know, probably stream it first, maybe because the guys in the chat are not loving it. And I get that. But from 52 minutes onwards, have a blast, literally and figuratively.
Well, yeah, and you have like, I mean, this is a great way to do it from Steven is saying it was a ho-hum movie for me, but when the 4K disc goes discount, I'll pick it up for the HD experience. And I mean, that's about that. That's what we do, right? It's like, if you can get it at a decent price and just enjoy it for what it is, kind of like, you know, Turtles, same thing, you know, and it really, but it's worth it for, if you can get it at a decent price for the home theater experience. So, let's
see. Have you seen it, John?
Zombie Rust.
No, I haven't seen it. This will be a $10 Black Friday movie.
Yeah.
And I'll pick it up then.
But Zombie Rust 5 says 65 was a little weak movie wise to him. So I've heard that. And that's why I was, you know, a little bit hesitant to grab it. And it was a listener that DM'd me. Sorry, I forget who it was, but they DM me, told me they saw it in the theater. Really, you know, they enjoyed the experience in the theater. And then at home, they said, wow, it really is a great experience at home. So I was like, oh, all right. That's all I needed to hear. So I was like, and I'd heard mixed reviews before that. I'd heard people saying everything that people are saying in the chat, you know, like, so, you know, it, but I pleasantly surprised that the experience, was that good. It was really good. So, and like you said, 52 minutes on is like demo material. It's
it's crazy. Really is. Yeah.
And a great picture too. The 4K picture was really, really good. Deep blacks, bright brights, vivid color with great saturation. I mean, it had it all. It really did.
Yeah. And very three-dimensional, as we said, you know, from the opening shots of the, you know, the cosmos, whatever it is they're going through. It looks great. Longest movie got to be before the credits come up. Is it like about 20-25 minutes?
Yeah.
You get the title?
Yeah, exactly. It's probably the 65 minute mark. No.
Yeah. I think they forgot.
I know.
They forgot what the movie was. Oh, quick, chuck it on.
Quick. There. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're seeing.
That's strange as well.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere. Pretty odd.
Yeah, it's the 6 minute mark, the meteor activity. It's like they're flying through space. I mean, the base, the surround, the everything all around the room, but the deep black. Okay, so what I thought was interesting is like that you're seeing these meteors in space, and the space in the background has a almost like a like different depth to it. It's like there's some darker parts, but it's not deep, deep black. But yeah. Then inside the shadows on the meteors is actually a deeper black. Like the light couldn't get in there. But space, everything you're looking at in space is like a very, very dark, dark gray. And then you know, you see your stars and stuff. So that's what I think lent to that 3D feel is like, you're like I think in reality space would be a deep black. 'Cause where is that? Why is it gray? There's no light. It should be anything. Right. But fine. I'm not looking for reality. I'm looking for a good time in my room. And I thought, you know, the deep blacks inside of those meteors and stuff, the shadow, which also pops, makes those highlights pop as well. That was really cool. And then, the 1 hour mark, it's, you know, things have gone crazy since 52 minute mark, but it's a very quiet, dark scene. And there's, dripping water, those sounds, some growls, who knows what it could have been. No spoilers, growls all around the room, but the HDR there as well, being such a dark scene, really, really good scene. So. It's just a few scenes, but very, very good experience. So if you can get it at a good price, definitely, check it out. One you'd want to go back at and start it at the 52 minute mark after you've seen the whole thing.
Omar said on Twitter that he'd seen the tweets that we'd put out about the 52 minute mark.
Yeah.
And he's got quite hefty subs. And afterwards he was like, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Blew him away. So yeah, it's very cool.
Really good. So, all right. That'll do it for our HT experiences for this week. So
some great ones coming up next week.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm actually, we'll talk a little bit more about that at the end of the show, but, you ready to get to, we got a few 4K releases. We should be able to get to quite a few listener experiences this week, plus our new segment, our quick segment in the middle. All right, ready for some 4K releases?
Yep.
There we are. All right. Coming up on Tuesday, June 20th, Avatar: The Way of Water is coming out. And, you know, it's quite a few choices. Buy them all if you want to, but a few choices in covers here. We have the standard in the top left. Looks a lot like the Target one at the bottom. Like, what's the difference?
Yeah.
Has anybody seen the difference yet other than the little cardboard flap that comes over? Then we have a Walmart exclusive on the top right, and then the Best Buy exclusive, which I think I like the Best Buy exclusive one the best. What about you guys?
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm. I agree.
It seems the most different from all the other ones. I mean, two are they're pretty much exactly the same. Walmart's not bad, but I like the Best Buy one the best. So
we've got to wait an extra week for ours. We don't get it until the 26th, I think it is, the following week. We get it here. Notice none of them are in HFR.
Yeah, I know.
Cheers, James Cameron.
I wonder if they'll release it though separately.
There's not been any mention of it.
I know.
So who cares? As long as I get it in the normal one.
Well, I mean, if you'd like it, I'd like to see it because I'd like it as an option. It's just it's like, as long as you're not hurting anybody, I don't care like it or not. Does it hurt you, Steve, when I watch it in HFR?
It's painful. It hurts my soul.
I'll stop texting you then. Look at what I'm doing. All right. From 1998, we have Robert De Niro in Ronin coming in 4K.
Great movie.
Yeah. I haven't seen this, I think, since 1998.
Oh, yeah, it's been a long time.
I have this on DVD, Blu-ray. Yeah,
I have too.
You know, I've got the new Blu-ray, the Arrow one that came out a couple of years ago. Interestingly, Bill Hunt from the Digital Bits reviewed this yesterday, day before, and gave this A's across the board for video and audio. So this is one I'm going to be importing as soon as I can. I really like this film. It's nonsense. I mean, this stuff about what colors the boathouse in Hereford is absolutely just, and Sean Bean plays a really stupid role in it. But it's a very good film. The car chases in this are absolutely fantastic. And the shootouts, of course. So this one will be one to import straight away.
Nice. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I haven't, like I said, I haven't seen it in a while, so it'll be fun to see it. We also have The Firm coming from 1993. So Tom Cruise. Who's the author of these books?
John Grisham.
Yeah. Was this the first one that set off like all the Grisham books that ended up?
No, I think Time to Kill.
Yeah, well, the
Pelican. I think Time to Kill came first.
Yeah. Great film as well. That would be nice in 4K.
Yeah.
It's great. The film where everybody looks very sweaty.
Yeah.
Does it take place in New Orleans?
Time to Kill? Everybody, Mississippi or something, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I know the difference. It's deep south.
It's south. It's sweaty. It's humid.
Yeah. Everybody.
Yeah. I read all those books when they first came out and saw all these movies.
You read them all too?
I read them all, yes.
I never got into the Grisham books for some reason. So.
The Firm is probably the one I've seen the least, actually. But it's out here next week as well, so I will pick it up. I'm not expecting great things from it, but I'll give it a go. And of course, as a British lawyer, any of this American lawyering stuff is just I'm just going to touch
just nonsense. It.
Yeah. It was a good thriller.
Six figure salaries. What?
Yeah.
All right, and then also for Tom Cruise, we have Vanilla Sky. I haven't seen this one in a while either.
I don't like this one.
Yeah, really?
My son loved it. He kept telling me, you got to watch this movie. You got to watch this movie. And I was like, I don't like it.
I don't know why. Was it any good from the 52-minute mark? That's what we really want to know.
That's
what I saw it in the cinema, and then I saw it a couple of times, I think, since. And I just remember thinking it was, vanilla is probably a good description for it for me. Nothing very exciting about it. It was just, never mind.
All right. All right. That does it for this week's 4K releases coming out on Tuesday, the 20th. So we will, go to our new segment here. Look at us, everybody. We're just going to let everybody know you could find us on Twitter. See? And on, if you're watching on YouTube or watching the stream on Twitter, you know where Steve is and you know where John is and you know where I am. So you can find me at BrightsideHT. You can find John at John Cerconi. That's right. Right, John?
John Cerconi. Yep.
Just flat out John Cerconi.
Yep.
It's kind of small on my screen right here, so I can't really tell. But and then you can find Steve at Legal Beagle. Okay. I'm not saying okay. I'm saying that's all part of it. Legal Beagle. Yeah. Okay. All
yes,
one.
That's okay. So, yes.
Yeah. So you can find us on Twitter. We have a website, and this is where. Oh, why is it taking time to load? All right. There it is. We have a website. You can go to the website, brightsidehometheater.com, find all the shows, all the fun stuff, everything past, present, no future. Not yet. We haven't developed that far. Yeah. But you can also go there to, support the show. You can click on the Patreon button to become a Patreon member, or you can buy us a box of popcorn. And that's where, and if you buy us a box of popcorn, your comments get moved to the front of the show. All right. Also, I thought it was funny. I was making this graphic for YouTube to say that we're on YouTube because I figured if you're on YouTube, you're going to see that you're on YouTube. But guess what? we're not just on YouTube anymore now. So it was actually makes sense. So if you're streaming on Twitter, on either Steve or I's channels, you can find us on YouTube as well at youtube.com/brightsidehtvideos. That's us right there. And last but not least, John, your favorite.
I was like, where is it? Patreon. Patreon.com/brightsidehometheater.
Yeah. So you can go there to become a patron. Become a patron. Easy. You know what you can do. You can go there. You support us. They take a little bit. They take whatever you decide to give us as a dollar as a minimum or as much as you'd like. And then we get most of it and Patreon takes a little bit, I guess. So I actually haven't taken anything out yet and I should.
Yeah.
It's been growing. So, but also for this week, let's see, where is it? Not this week. I'm sorry. Now I can't find it. There it is. All right. Share this. So for this month, we are going to be 50% of our income or donations, whether it be from boxes of popcorn or which we've already received 2 boxes of popcorn this month from and from Patreon. We're going to be giving to Autism Speaks this month. I had Jen was helping out over the weekend. So I was like, hey, it's a perfect time for this. We have one of our best friends. Their son is 22 years old now. He just graduated and he's autistic and on the more, you know, not, yeah, almost like, yeah, like Rain Man, kind of. It's, so he's severely autistic, but he gets around, he does his things, and there's a whole line of the spectrum, but they need a lot of help. And so I asked my wife, what's the best autism donation that we can do? And she gave me this one. So, you know, the links are in the show notes. Autism Speaks. You can click directly to donate whatever you want. Just let us know. And I'll let everybody know. Or you can buy us a box of popcorn and, you know, 50% will go to Autism Speaks. So, but if you want 100%, just click on the link. So that's what we'll be doing this month. I have another autist. I have another. She worked with a kid today. I'll tell you guys after the show. I would tell it on the show. It's not a bad story. It's a fantastic story, but I don't think I could get through it. So I won't tell you about it here on the show because this is Brightside. So, yeah. All righty. Let's see. That's it for that segment. Up next, we have no tweaks this week, right?
No.
Anybody? No? All right. Let's get to listener experiences. All right. Let's see. Who are we going to do first?
It looks more like Coneheads than the Fifth Element.
Yeah,
doesn't it? Exactly. Yeah, if you're listening to this on the audio only podcast,
you're missing out.
Yeah, big time. Follow us on Twitter because WV Brew tweeted this out earlier. It said, @BrightsideHT, I hope I don't get sued, Steve. And he'd taken the box cover basically of the Fifth Element. And he imposed John, Steve, and I into the character spots, actually added the Brightside logo in there as well. Pretty cool job. Pretty cool. Yeah. Looks really good. Pretty funny. Steve does look angry. He's on the cover.
To be fair, if anything would get me to rewatch The Fifth Element, if we are going to become part of it, then I will rewatch it.
Right.
So if someone wants to go in and via CGI replace all of it,
fake the whole movie,
the 3 of us, yeah, done.
Yeah.
Do I have to be Mila Jovovich through the whole thing?
I see. Now that's the whole point to see it,
yeah.
John.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to see you in that white duct tape.
I have to be Leeloo through the whole movie.
Look, I'm telling you, there's love in the chat. Look at this. Stephen Att says, love it. Great Blu-ray cover. Paul Hurt says, it's a special edition release. I'm telling you, there's desire for it. WV Brew, get on this. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we need, yeah. Steelbook edition.
I showed it to some friends of mine who were absolutely wetting themselves. That it was brilliant.
It's so funny.
It is a funny one.
I want to see what's in the reflection in your glasses.
Yeah, well, you can like, zoom that into would it. Be it's funny. Me. It's a selfie I took. So you'll
see. No, I know. Yeah. Yeah.
Do we want to encourage this, though? Because I fear with our listeners. Why not?
We're going to be on every movie. Yeah.
I'm not sure I'm blue for Avatar. I'm not sure I want to be superimposed on Coneheads or Cocoon or anything like that. Cocoon. Well, I mean, we're all getting older.
Yeah,
I know, but it's like, what made you go there? Like Coneheads or Cocoon?
I watched a documentary earlier where someone mentioned Cocoon, so it's in my head.
As long as we're not on like Sophie's Choice,
yeah.
Like, okay, which one? Oh no! All right,
or on Coyote Ugly or something like that. Then things will get weird.
Ooh, Magic
Showgirl,
Mike,
Showgirls.
Yeah.
Magic Mike the horror show. There's some gore.
Hey, you speak for yourself.
Yeah. I am.
But it was very cool. And WV Brew did this out of nowhere as well. This
I know.
We didn't say anything. He just came out with it and just posted
They hadn't been a Fifth Element comment in a long time.
Well, I think that's why. He's trying to stoke the flames.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. Oh, all right. Up next, we have Greg. And this is John Brock and Speakers. Which one of you guys want to read that one while I load a few more?
I don't mind doing it. Is this Greg, your son-in-law, Greg?
Yes, it is.
Oh, there you go. Right, okay. So, well, I can't do the accent, so I won't try. Okay, so... So, Greg, I hope you don't mind. I think he's in the chat. Apologies if it's read in an English accent. So, it says, John Brock and Speakers. And it's an email. Or is it a text? Sent from iPhone. Oh, I know. It doesn't really matter. It says, you and John Brock had me thinking again about speakers. And I'm listening to some YouTube videos while I work. And as I learn more, I realize how little I know more and more. Some speakers having adjustable tweeters to aim at the MLP, main listening position, and how the woofers don't matter as much to be pointed at the MLP, and I'm only on the hardware side right now. I'm sure the software tuning side is just as if not more complicated. Sent from iPhone, Greg. B.S., get some milk on the way home, Deej. Okay.
We don't live together.
Towns apart. We've been in the house a lot doing the work.
I know. Yeah, that's true. It's funny, and it is fun listening to him, helping him when he asks for it, but he does a lot of stuff on his own, so it is a lot of fun to watch him learn and experience. It's like you can read about this stuff all you want, you can watch the videos, you can watch, and I think that's what's really difficult now for new home theater fans. It's like when we were starting, you just had to try. You didn't even know what you were trying to do yet, but now it's like there's so much out there to tell you how to do it right. And then you've done it, but how do you know it's right? How do you know what you're hearing is right? How do you know? And then they're like, oh, well, get these speakers, do this, do that. And the levels of complication are just with every step just grows and grows. And I find myself overwhelmed for them. Because like I learned before all this stuff, and now you can sift it, you just automatically sift it out, right? And then but now it's like, well, what about this? But I can adjust my tweeters and I can do this, and I'm like, oh my god, it's like, should I do this, should I do that? And it not just Greg, I mean everybody seeing the stuff online and everything, it's like, just have fun, listen to what you want to listen to, learn what's good to you, what's bad to you, and you know, it takes time, because it's going to take time for people for you to realize, oh, I can get this a little bit different. And then do you like that? And why is that different and stuff? So much to it, but yes, very complicated.
Yeah. I mean, I think you're right. I think you perhaps need to pick someone or somewhere you trust, someone you trust, And then, you know, if you need some guidance, by all means, get that. But you've got to be careful because it's an infinite rabbit hole, isn't it?
Oh, I was just saying, there's a lot of misinformation or bad information being presented as fact. And if you're new, you don't know.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's
sometimes it's not even misinformation. Well, I guess misinformation would probably be the best way to put it. It's like, and I've talked to listeners about this. I've talked, you know, people have emailed me questions and stuff and just people in general. And it's like, oh, I heard this. Well, that's correct. But what they left out is this. So like the information, it's like you need all of the information. So like something might be like, well, are two subwoofers better than one? Yeah. Okay. Well, and then you see all the pictures of subwoofers put at the front of your room. So you think that's it. It's like, no, that's not even the best way to put your subwoofers in your room. And it's like for balanced bass. Well, why do you want balanced bass and the balanced bass? And it's like, I mean, I had the conversation with Danny Speakers and we were going over that. And it's like, there's so much stuff that it's like, you need all the information. Just one piece of it is like, I mean, they teach you this in martial arts. The early stages are the most dangerous because you think you got a little information and now you're really good. You don't know what you don't know yet. And it's the same thing. It's like, I got one piece of information. You got a ways to go. And like you said, John, it's like, that's, I think that's the biggest misinformation part. I don't think people are like trying to give you bad information. It's just when you read one piece and somebody's like, this is the way to be. Well, yeah, but you left out all these other parts that get you there as well. And people are wondering why they don't get the same experience. All right. Let's go on to the next one. John, you want to read that one?
Yeah, this is from YouTube, from Julian Gola. Home theater experience, raging fire. It says, thanks for all the videos, and I especially find the four-way masking video very helpful. I am looking to do the masking just like in the video, but I was wondering how you got the top panels to stay like that. Does it just stay in place if it fits tightly? The comments are turned off in that video, so I can't comment on it. Thanks again.
Yeah, thanks, Julian. I think I've tried to turn the comments on. That was my early days. I didn't know what I was doing, or maybe I had them turned off because somebody recommended that's the best way to go because nobody wants comments, but all our comments are great, so they're on. But yeah, thanks for asking because this one comes up a lot. And all the, you know, people reach out about this. So I don't know what the widest you can go is. I've helped people with a screen that's wider and how to get it to fit snugly, but mine's at 110. I think you might even be able to go to 120. And yeah, you have to measure very carefully on the pink insulation the styrofoam insulation that you're using. And I typically, for my top piece, I measured pretty much exactly what the opening was and cut it like that. And then the width of the blade that you're cutting it with is enough that when you wrap it with the velvet, the black velvet, that's enough to keep it in place. And so what Julian's asking about is I have masking at the bottom and top of my screen and the top piece to go from a 16:9 screen to a 240 aspect ratio. The top piece just literally just pops right in and there's a little flex to the styrofoam and it covers the spans and it just stays there. I've had that thing, God, probably 4 or 5 years now, same piece, same everything. And it's just the friction keeps it up there. And you know, a little bit of trial and error. I'd say make sure I'd rather go when you're cutting it, make sure that you go a little bit too wide because you can't add on after the fact and you can always just trim a little bit off. But yeah, the velvet against, especially if you have a velvet frame, black velvet frame, the velvet against velvet keeps it in place. So, yeah, it's a popular video. A lot of people are using that. So especially from this website, popular for this website anyways. All right. Next up, another one from WV Brew at Brightside HT. Excellent movie at 1 hour 43 mark. really impressive ambient sounds. The crickets sound like they are 10 feet outside the speakers. 5.1 upmix to Neural X. We are all hostels. I've never even heard of that. Have you heard of that, John?
Steve? No.
Yes, no, I'm just checking like to see whether
Christian it's the Bale, 4K, though, right?
Whether it's the 4K disc I've got. Got two versions of this.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I've got it in 4K, and it's it's only in 5.1. Yeah, so it's Master Audio 5.1 DTS. It's really good, really good Western. I'm surprised you guys haven't heard of this.
No. Rosamund Pike. And...
Yeah. A lot of people really, really like it. And the first time I saw it, it was a little bit slow paced for me, a little bit languid, and I struggled with it a little bit. But months and months later, this was on the Blu-ray, and then I saw the 4K, and I'd seen lots of reviews of it since then saying, you know, give it another go, basically, and reappraise it. So I imported it. So it's a German edition again. And I enjoyed it much more second time round. It is quite a soulful, again, quite melancholy. It's Christian Bale plays a Civil War veteran who is struggling with his past and struggling with what he's been asked to do and the things he's done. And he has prejudice against Native Americans or First Nation people. I don't know what to say, but against those. And he's asked to transport a chieftain who is very unwell back to his lands. And Rosamund Pike is someone they pick up on the way. And it's about them learning to understand one another and live with one another and that kind of stuff. But it's a very well done film, very similar to Dances with Wolves, that kind of sort of territory in terms of how they're doing it. But it's well worth a watch, guys. If you like those kinds of movies, it is well worth seeing. I'm a little bit worried now that this is WV Brew this time next week. Which one of us is going to be Christian Bale?
Yeah, I mean,
I'm thinking, DJ, you'd look very nice with the braided hair down the side of.
I bet. Yeah, exactly.
Well, they both have braided hair.
They do.
So.
That is true. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Good with a mustache. So yeah. It's
well, John's already got the mustache. He's got the facial hair. So John would fit nicely there. And I mean, I probably look the best with the plunging neckline.
Only on the weekends, DJ. But it's but, you know, it is a good film, and those that haven't seen it, you know, again, worth picking up. I'm surprised you guys haven't seen it.
I hadn't even heard of it. I don't think.
No, I
don't
either.
Remember it on my radar. Yeah,
no, it's good. It is good.
All right. Let's see. We also have John. You want to take that?
Let me. Sure. What is this? Nicolas Cage, Samuel L. Jackson, Amos and Andrew at theaters this February. So I guess this is a movie?
Yeah.
I don't know anything about this. Yeah, at theaters this February. It says, this is my favorite movie that makes me laugh. It's not much of a home theater experience, though. Mr. Brown iPhone.
Yeah.
So, that's a strange name.
Yeah, Mr. Brown iPhone.
Yeah.
That's how it came. Yeah,
he mine's emailed. Black, but, you know.
Yeah, Mr. Brown iPhone.
I guess they come in all colors.
I didn't know they came in brown. I saw the pink, the rose gold.
I'm pretty sure I met his cousin, Mr. Brown iPad. but, you know.
I do remember this movie. I never saw it, but I do remember it existing. That sounds funny, though. I got the email, and I was like, oh, that's cool. Favorite movie that makes them laugh, because we're talking about comedies.
Right.
I haven't even thought of the next comedy that I couldn't think of the next comedy I want to see after Beverly Hills Cop.
Popstar.
Yeah.
Oh, you think so? Yeah. I was trying to think of like an older one, and I almost did this one.
That's from 2013, so it's fairly old.
Yeah. What's that? Popstar?
Yeah.
Was 2013? I meant like my youths. My youth. Yeah. Get back to my youth. So, all right. This one from Gurinder. Just watched Kudo and the Two Strings with my youngest. We really enjoyed it.
I think you mean Kubo. Kubo what? And the Two Strings. Well,
okay.
Yeah. That's just a typo. Yeah, it's Kubo and the Two Strings. It's an animated sort of stop motion type. Leica, is it? What's the name of the studio? It's a sort of stop motion animation. Mm-hmm. It's on Netflix. Yeah, it's good. Yeah, it's really well done.
Cool. And we have, you want to take this one from Theo, Steve?
It's 2016. Sorry, I was just checking. Popstars 2016. I hate it when I listen back and it's wrong. It annoys me. So I always have to check. So I've got IMDb right here, IMDb. Right, so okay, so this is Theo M. This was the comment from the Raging Fire YouTube video. And it says, love the show. I like this one. This time I agree with Lydia and Steve. The Mummy movie was a fun movie. I loved it too. Yeah. Six boxes of popcorn, teach.
Wow.
Six.
Yeah. Six. I don't think I've ever given out six.
It is a fun movie. You know, I know you guys. I'm surprised at you guys and a little disappointed.
But it's, DJ liked it, right?
No.
I was the only one that didn't
No.
Oh, no. You didn't like it either?
Like it. Okay. No.
This is the, you know, John, usually you and I are on absolutely.
Usually, yeah. I don't know why. I just don't like it.
No, I did not like it.
Nothing else.
And I like everybody in it. You know, I mean, I love Brendan Fraser, you know. I don't know. I'm probably going to pick up the box set, like I said, because Lydia likes it a lot. So, and I'll end up watching it again. So we'll see. But I've seen it a number of times. Saw it once.
It's got a DTSX track. And, you know, all the opening stuff, you've got all the swooping things and all the various plagues that the mummy visits upon Egypt. Mm. And there's a bit with meteors, you know, coming to Earth and all that kind of stuff as well. All that goes all over the room and, you know, it sounds great. So if nothing else, it should be a decent home theater experience. Right. I just happen to think it's a classic movie as well.
Yeah.
We have a couple of comments here in the chat that I thought were really interesting. Mm. Going back to our earlier comment about, you know, knowledge and how there's so much out there. And Steve Atz starts with, he says, the universe of HT is so much larger than it was 20 years ago. And then Zombie Russ 5 follows it up with, the knowledge gap is pretty extreme when you first start the home theater journey. And I thought that was interesting. I think they're both interesting comments because it's funny. I don't think the universe is any bigger than it ever was. And I don't think the knowledge gap is any different than anything else that you take on that's complicated. I mean, there's when you get into something, you think it's like going to be simple. Like when John and I sat down and decided to start podcasting, we're like, I just record it and do it, right? No, there's a lot to it. And as you get into it, you realize, oh, wow, look. And as you keep going, you're like, oh, I'm at the top. Nope. Next rung. And that's when you realize how big it is. But and that's why I think that like home theater universe, it's just as big as it was when John and I started. The difference
we have
now,
more options, better technology.
No. I would say, I think we're going to say the same thing, John. Then it's not more options. It's more attainable because everything that we're having now, like the large screen, a projection system, you could have that in 1988, but it was going to cost you a couple $100,000. But now you can get that in your room in a better quality than an 88 too, but you're going to get that. You're going to get a nice big screen and you can do that for under like $2,000. Right. If you really wanted to cheap, you know, get a decent projector, 1080p, you can paint your walls, which I've seen people do. I mean, there's ways to do it. And I think that's the difficult part is like when John and I were starting, it wasn't even an option. We knew it was there and it was like, you could see all of this stuff and you read it in the magazines and you were like, well, I can never have that. But now I think people think, well, it's just so much bigger because it's like right there, right at the edge of your fingertips where but everything's pretty much the same. You know, the media has changed. The physical versions have evolved, but it's not any different. Right. Whether you have a disc now or we had VHS or we did have laser discs in the 80s, the discs have all changed, but nothing. And I think it's been simplified more. No, because I think like bass, I heard a conversation the other day about, you know, SVS and subwoofers and how they took over for Velodyne and all of that stuff. The knowledge that people have learned on how bass works has been put into the products And now we in turn are learning that stuff. So we have better bass response in our rooms that we could never have before, that again, you had to pay crazy money for those subwoofers, but they were there. All of that stuff was there, right, guys?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, you didn't have like Dolby app. You didn't have some of the sound codecs that we have now.
That's evolution though. Yeah. Right.
But, yep. But I mean, you still could do a surround sound type of thing back then too. It just, you know, wasn't object based like it is now.
I think it might have been a bit different here. I mean, Paul in the chat, obviously as a guy that is over here as well. I think when I started out, which was in the mid 90s, I suppose, for surround sound and everything else, there was not the availability here. You just didn't have the stuff here. It was very, 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 I mean, it's niche now, but it was very, 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 very niche then. And the availability of manufacturers and the availability of the equipment was limited. And, you know, if you had a Dolby Pro Logic 2 receiver and two surround speakers that looked like, you know, little tiny little tinny garden speakers, that you were going, you know, that was the top of the top. Whereas it seems now the availability of everything just seems much bigger. And of course, some of that will come with the advert.
It's the internet.
And yeah, exactly right. And so some of that will come with that and the availability then of sourcing stuff if you want to from all over the world. But back then it did seem much, much smaller. You know, the brands were not as ubiquitous. There were fewer brands. It seemed, you know, TVs, Sony, you know, Panasonic, that seemed kind of what it was. And then, you know, your receivers were very
RCA, Zenith. You had, they were just, they were just as many. There were lots of them. And like Steve Att has, I think there are more choices for most of the media, hardware, speakers, cables, codecs. Since it's more obtainable, now you need to learn about them. I would say that it's like if you were dealing with it, experiencing it at the time, we had all those, right? And it's like Laserdisc offered codecs that you can't get on VHS. And it was like when AC3 first came out, it's like you needed to have AC3 was the first version, you know, discrete surround sound each channel. And you need to have the right Laserdisc player. Your current Laserdisc player might not have had the correct output for it. You needed to have the right disc for it. You needed, you know, everything, your receiver, everything in line had to have all that. But then you had people with the VCRs and the hi-fi VCR version of the, or regular two-head VCR. So all of those choices were there. All of those levels were there, just like they are today. They were different pieces, different ideas, and the same idea, like different codecs have evolved. But, and it's like, and then the cables, and like you said, like the internet offers us more choices, but we got all of our choices through the magazines. But because of the internet, we are now learning better. You know, you don't need to spend crazy money on, all of our knowledge came from ads, right? And you were like, oh, spend all the money. If you spend more, it's got to be better, right? And we were buying $100 cables, $200 cables that you were like, all right, I got my 6 foot, $200 speaker cable. This is going to sound great.
No.
And it did. Because we swore it did.
Right. Yeah.
But you know what I mean? It's like, I think there's a lot less ignorance now. There's a lot more opportunity for you to learn because of podcasts, because of, you know, internet and stuff. But I think you can get inundated a lot quicker because just as fast as you can type on Google, you can get more information. Whereas we were trying to flip pages in magazines, like, what can we learn next? And then you had to wait a month till the magazine came out again. So, all right, let's get to another question. How are we doing on time here? Oh, we're doing well.
15 minutes or so.
Yeah. We did this one already. We'll go on to this one. This is Greg again. Greg, the awesome ninja. That is also my son-in-law. Who wants to grab that?
I'll get it. It says, so this is from YouTube, live stream show 287. I guess that was the title. Question of audio or video. I lean towards audio because I went 18 years without glasses and never realized I couldn't see. So also slowly appreciating video more recently.
Well, I mean, you don't know
how he
you
was an
know.
Awesome ninja if he couldn't see anything. But
you've seen Bloodsport. You can
yeah, that's true.
Just a blindfold. You don't have to.
Your senses take over, I guess.
Yeah. Don't you remember Van Damme walking around the mat? The incredible acting. How he didn't get an Oscar for this. It's just,
he was robbed.
He was robbed big time. Big time. but you know what's great about that? What I really liked about that comment, too? 18 years without glasses and never realized he couldn't see. You know what I thought of right away? Mm-hmm. I went how many years with my NHTs and didn't know what I was missing in the frequency range that has been brought out since I got the, you know, and it's the same thing. Like, you don't know what you don't know. So if you're just going around the world and you're like, this is what everything looks like, then you get the correct prescription and you put them on like, oh my God, the whole world's in, you know, 4K now.
Right.
And you know, it's eye opening. No, nobody wants
it. I agree.
No, no, the joke. It's eye opening. Yeah,
it's not just me that's punning this week, DJ.
Yeah, there we go.
Well done.
Thank you very much. All right. This one here, Mikey Schramm. Yep. Says, I forgot to DJ. I looked at my son when it was over and was like, what just happened? And he said, you forgot it was two parts talking about Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse last week. So.
But his son remembered, so.
Right. No, I didn't say it didn't exist.
I'm just saying it's funny that his son remembered, but he didn't.
Yeah. So.
Let's not have this argument again, you two.
I know.
I'm in the middle of this time again. I'll.
We hashed it out after the show. We're good.
Yeah, we were laughing. It was funny. That was nothing.
That's nothing.
Oh my God.
That's just friendly banter.
There's a reason it took us a couple of years to go live. Yeah. Oh boy. All right. Next one here. Listen, Steve, why don't you read this one?
Yep. Okay. This one is in several chapters and comes with appendices and footnotes.
Yeah, this will be a good conversation if we have. We might end on this one. This is from Francis.
Okay. Yeah, so this is Francis Amorico. So chapter one. I hope you're sitting comfortably. Now I'll begin.
Once upon a time.
Yes, there was a knight. And okay, so here I did. Deej is going to drown in the background whilst we're doing this thing.
Oh, God.
Spit take. Okay, so it says, just this. A visual joke for those that are watching. Okay, so just listen to your podcast with Danny Speakers. I disagree with you about taking away the mini DSP and using a Y splitter. I'm just curious, how do you calibrate your AV receiver? Do you use REW or just run Odyssey and adjust speaker levels? Or do you have a professional come in and set it up? I know you, so that for you, Lumagen and Projector. I would love a discussion on that on your podcast. The reason you have a Lumagen to let it do the heavyweight work from your projector, it gives the user or calibrator greater control in getting your display at its best. The processor in the Lumagen is far superior, the same for a mini DSP for sound. It gives you much more control in getting the best sound possible. You can even set presets for two-channel or home cinema, or calibrate it differently to suit your needs. What do you think? Please ask around or get someone on your podcast to explain it all. There you go. Chapter three.
So
dark and stormy night.
I thought
the night was dark.
I read this and I replied back to him, but I'm glad this came in. I'm glad we got to this after everything that we were just saying about information. And it's funny because he's like, I disagree with you about taking away the mini DSP, and then goes on to explain why a person shouldn't have a mini DSP unless it's professionally calibrated. So that's all I'm saying. Like, when Danny and I were talking about it, and John can chime in on this as well. And this, I mentioned John when I replied to Francis. I'm like, so when I got my Lumagen, I said, I don't want to set this thing up. It's too complicated. it does way more than I'm capable of managing, right? And I'm just afraid I'm going to screw something up. So I had it professionally calibrated. So Francis is correct. A mini DSP is like a Lumagen for sound. It can manipulate. There's many, many things you can do with it, right or wrong. So you have people out there reading this information online, get a mini DSP, and then they're going, is this right? I don't know. John did it. And what did you do, John?
I had it professionally calibrated.
Exactly.
So here's the thing. But I got my mini DSP. I had it professionally calibrated. I think it's an improvement in sound, and mm-hmm. I'm happy with it. But I don't know a thing about it. Like, right. If anything has happened since I've gotten it to throw it out of whack, I don't know it.
Right.
I don't have any way to know it. I don't know how to set up another preset. I don't know anything about how to use it. So it's there, and I'm assuming it's doing its job. But sort of like you with the Lumagen. Like, if something changed or went wrong, I mean, I guess you could visually see it, and I could hopefully audibly hear it. But, like, you don't really know.
Right.
You know what I mean?
No.
Like,
So my conversation with Danny, and this is where I think a lot of people, and this is what I don't appreciate about the forums, is that people will tell you, oh, like me, DJ, you should get a mini DSP. Why? You know how many people have told me I should get one for my room? Why? Have you ever heard me complain about my bass response? Have you ever heard me complain about my sound? But they think that you need to have one. Like, they automatically think I don't have a good experience in my room because I don't have one. And that's not true. I'm enjoying it. Maybe it's not. Maybe it could be better with a mini DSP. But I don't have the time to set that up. And I'd probably do more harm than good. So with Danny, the only reason we were talking about it is because Danny was trying to get the experience that he had here in his place, and he has a mini DSP. His subwoofers are capable of doing his subwoofers could do what they're doing in my room, and his room's slightly smaller. So I said, maybe take the mini DSP out, because that might be the variable. Maybe you're actually doing more harm than good because you're trying to equalize for the entire room when it's like just try to get it for that one spot. And so we had that whole conversation. So mini DSP just adds more complication. And if you don't know what you're doing with it, you could actually be doing more harm than good. And Dan's done a lot. He knows a lot about this stuff. But we all know we don't know everything. So maybe his settings were wrong. And we've all done that. If something was off. But again, the reason we were having that conversation was because Dan wasn't happy with the sound that he was getting. And we were talking about how he could get the sound to be improved. And I was like, try pulling that out and see what happens. So, you know, and that's what I thought. I mean, it's a great comment by Francis. He's absolutely correct, except for the part where he disagrees with me, because it's actually, that's why I think a mini DSP is like, they're very difficult to set up, and you might actually be doing more harm than good. And like John did, I think it's a good idea that if you have the opportunity, if you can get somebody to come in and set it up for you, at least they could set it up and you'd know, okay, this is what good is. This is the best my room can get, right, John? That's what you thought after he left. You're like, all right, I mean, I can't make it any better.
Well, right, yeah. I feel like it's the best that I'm going to get in my setup, in my room, with my acoustics, with my environment. Right. I don't think it'll get better. Again, I'll never get what you guys get because I don't have the sealed space to pressurize with the bass, but I'm happy where I'm at, unless I'm watching a Lonely Place to Die, and then I'm not happy at all. But otherwise, but again, like you said, I paid somebody to come in and do it. It sounds better. I'm happy, but I still don't know if it's right. You know what I mean? Like, you never know. Like, how can
right,
you really
but where
ever
would you
know?
Go from here?
Well, right. Well, you would just have to get somebody else to do it and see if it was any different. But,
right.
You know.
At some point, you just have to succumb
right. You just
to...
have to trust that you paid somebody that knows what they're doing, and you just have to trust that they did it correctly. Same thing. Like, you could have a different calibrator come in, and your video could look completely different if somebody else came in and did it. You would hope not, because they should use standardized measuring tools.
Right.
But not everybody's as skilled with what they do as somebody else. So,
right. And getting back to like what Steve said earlier, get somebody you trust.
Right.
Listen, but the only way to get somebody you trust, especially in this day and age, because it's so easy to get a hold of a wide array of people,
right,
is that it's through time and know, like, having their information actually pay off, right, and play out over and over and be like, oh, okay, I see that, you know, they're pretty accurate, you know. Right. Steve's been awfully quiet, and I think you actually have a great aspect view on this, because you had your entire room done. And yeah. I mean, for all you know, you might have a mini DSP in there. You know,
not talk, but I'm getting very conscious about my mini DSP. Can we not talk about, oh, sorry, that's what we're talking about. Yes, it was all installed, and I had stipulated to the installers beforehand that I wanted it not just put in and left. I wanted it, other than the video, which I wanted this particular guy to come in and do it, who I knew was very good. I had stipulated I wanted the audio calibrated properly by a professional sound engineer that knew what they were doing. And I watched them do it just to make sure.
Yeah.
So this is what I talk about, that I could, the first experience of Cinema George, I heard it before I could see it. Because I remember sitting in my lounge and I could feel the bass. And I'm thinking, what on earth was that? And I went in, and that's when King Arthur was showing, and it was like, much excitement was had.
Yeah.
So and that's the first time I'd experienced two subs working together in a small environment, and you know, the room was rocking. It was great. So yes, I agree. But I've got a perspective on exactly what you've just been talking about from this week, because I DJ, your infamous Dark Side DJ video.
Oh yeah,
in the green room where someone decides to offer an opinion on what they think you should have.
A critique.
Not, yes, indeed. When it is right. Not solicited, it's unsolicited.
Right. Unsolicited critiques, which yes. are and, complaints.
And, well, indeed. And I had one this week on Twitter where someone decided that they would tell me that I needed new subwoofers because of a new film that came out, John Wick 4, for no reason. I mean, they just came out with it, which I did not appreciate very much, and
right.
tweeted as much, and blocked the person responsible.
Oh,
as I am wont to do. So, you know, it's not cool. And it is a home cinema no-no. We shouldn't do it. And I don't think anybody in the circle of people that listen to us, that participate with us,
right.
We all know that if someone asks your opinion, you should give it. If you're able to, of course, assuming you know enough about it to be able to give that opinion.
Yeah.
But offering unsolicited advice to someone is not cool and is not good. And can just create anxiety and worry.
Right.
Not in me, because when this person put this, I just said, you're an idiot, and blocked them. But if I had been new to this, or if I had just had this installation, imagine this was 5 years ago, and yeah. I didn't know anything about it, and I've just spent 35 plus grand on having all this done, and then someone says, well, that's wrong. You know,
yeah.
It's just not cool. And it's, so
it can really hurt people's experience in their room when
yeah.
they might be getting a great experience, but now they've got like that FOMO. They're like, what am I missing? What am I missing? And it's like nothing, yeah. you know? And it's like, you need to experience what you're missing. Don't let somebody tell you what you're missing. Like, oh, you need new subwoofers. How do you know? What are you going to get? What am I going to get with those new subwoofers out of this movie that I'm not already getting?
Yeah.
You don't know.
Again, had I complained about it, that would be fine. But I hadn't.
Yeah, exactly.
Anything, like in this tweet that I put out, it was the opposite.
Yeah.
So, and, yeah. It just,
But that's the problem. And I get lots and lots of questions like that of people just being like, what's going on with this? Like I've done some investigations for people as well and talked to industry people about issues that they heard in a forum that exist. And then they're like, I'm like, no. Look, and this it's real. It is an issue, but they're blowing it out of proportion or they're doing this. And it's just experience your stuff. Don't listen to what people are trying to tell you, us included. I love my experience, but that's for me. You might come here someday if you get to come here and maybe you don't like it and that's fine. You're not, I mean, I've been around long enough. I don't care. It's like, I love my experience.
Yeah.
And that's how you should be. It's like it. And this, I think this is a fair analogy. It's like, imagine if you had a kid and you're out in public and somebody goes, you know, if you did this with him, he'd be able to run faster. Who are you talking to? What do you do? Oh, your kid's not good enough. That's how we feel about our theaters. It's like, we love these. We put the passion into these things, and to have somebody just out of nowhere tell you how to make it better. And you're like, I thought it was pretty good. Right. But if you see your kid, you know, you watching your kid and he starts to waver off the beaten path, you guide him back on your own. You don't want other people doing it. You want to, like, and you're doing it by raising him, observing him, learning. Same thing in our theaters. Experience it for yourself before don't listen to people tell you, you know, unsolicited. Don't listen. You can get this better. You can get that better. No. So.
Take it from a British solicitor. Don't listen to any unsolicited advice.
Right. Here you go.
And on that bombshell.
And on that bombshell. Yeah, there you go. Let's see. Paul's got a good one here. Yeah. Paul, plenty of audio systems sound fantastic. Quite often sound their best with no DSP, no EQ, nothing. And for people that don't know, Paul is an audio professional. I mean, that's what he does for a living. I think everybody, you know, people start, oops, wrong button. What am I doing here? Hide. Hide. There we go. I think people see the latest, greatest thing and they think they're going to get a better version of something like that. I'm like, even John, you with the mini DSP, when you first got it, you're like, I'm trying to move this around. And I'm like, I don't know how to use it. You and I were trying. I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, I don't get into those. And it's like, and there's a reason for that. I enjoy the content. And I've heard bad room EQ on different receivers and I'm really enjoying what I'm getting out of Odyssey right now. And, you know, and I going all the way back to the days of when there was no such thing and you had to do it yourself. So I think what we're getting now out of whether it be the, you know, Odyssey EQ, even Dirac, I've never used it, but from what I understand, like if you just run it in the simplest way, very good, but then you can tweak them and do what you want to do, but don't let people tell you have to do anything. So, all right. That's it for this week, right?
Quick little bit on next week.
Yes, absolutely. That's what I was going to ask you. What do you got? What are you looking forward to, Steve?
I've got John Wick 4, which
has
briefly mentioned. Yes.
I've got it as well.
Have you watched it yet?
No. It's on the schedule actually for tomorrow. My son's taking the day off from work for a couple of other things he has to do, but we've scheduled it into the day because it is a 3-hour experience.
I've watched the first 5 minutes of it, and
yes. It's
not far off Lucy.
I know. I've seen as well. I played the opening for Danny Speakers when he was here, and that opening is just phenomenal. I actually sat down to watch it when I first got it, and this is Joe and I have watched all the John Wicks together, whether it be in the theater or in our home theater. And it was a Saturday morning, I think, or a Sunday morning. I sat down to watch it and he was still in bed. And I was like, I saw that opening. And I was like, I can't watch this without him. No. So I went and I grabbed him. I'm like, do you have time? And he's like, no, he had stuff to do. So I was like, all right, we'll wait. We'll watch it together. And that was like 3 weeks ago. And but it's I played that opening for Danny. I go, no spoilers here, buddy. I mean, there's a slight little spoiler at the beginning. You get a little bit, but I played it for him and I'm like, that is an awesome bass scene. Awesome theme. Awesome opening.
The whole room just went, again, I've only watched the first 5 minutes because Todd Anderson just put, his review was reference. That was it. Yeah. And I thought, well, I'll do that. And so as soon as the fist hits the board, the whole room just went boom.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, holy flipping.
But there's
heck.
Detail in there too. The detail. I don't want to give it away. Or any, no. I mean, it's very quick. It's the opening. I mean, you actually hear it before you see it, I believe, right? Yeah. And then, then when you see it and you hear what's hitting what and what that, listen for all those little details. And I'm like, yeah, I can't wait for the rest of the movie. The other 3 hours of it.
Well, again, Todd was telling me about there's the church sequence and there's some clever room placement with candles and flickering lights and stuff. So he was saying, so I'm very intrigued about that. So that's next week. Also, I'm nearly finished the Disney Plus 4K Avatar in Dolby Atmos as well. Nearly
yes, we've discussed. You and I had a little discussion about that one.
I am loving that.
Yeah,
I can't wait for the disc. Cannot wait. So that's really fun. And Viewing Buddies have been having an absolutely amazing time with it and critiquing it just like us, which is very funny. And I'll tell you more about that next week as well. It's very, very cool.
Cool.
So it's great. So that's coming up next week. I mean, those are enough as it is. But and obviously the exciting finale of House of the Dragon, I dare say, as well.
Yeah, there's a couple of scenes in there that I can't wait for you to talk about.
So lots of good stuff.
Do you know anything, John, that you're going to be doing next week?
Wind River.
No, I don't know.
I think I have.
Wind River, John. Wind River.
Do we have
John.
Any? Come on, John. Oh, you know what? The Flash. Are we talking about that next week?
Well, I know that. Well, I'll be seeing that Thursday, but
I'm seeing that with Danny Speakers, my son, my Joe, Greg, Meg, and Danny Speakers. So my whole family, really.
Nice. Yeah.
early word is extremely good.
Yeah.
So expecting good things. Although Michael Shannon pouring some water on it, a little bit cold water on it.
I saw that.
I think it was very didn't find it very challenging or very enjoyable. But he's a bit of a curmudgeon, isn't he? He's a miserable git. Yeah. But I'm looking forward to it. I am looking forward to it. That will be one that I will go and see.
Yeah. Looking forward to that. Fun week next week.
Should be.
So, all right, that'll do it for this week. Thank you to everybody in the streams plural. And we'll be back next Tuesday, 5 p.m. Eastern time, so adjust accordingly wherever you are in the world.
Wherever you are.
Thanks, everybody. What are you gonna do?
Go push play.
What he said.
Hey Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.